Let me first turn to Psalm 16 and verse 11. Please remember this verse all your life. Psalm 16 and verse 11. To me, it's been a very helpful guideline. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Where we read that in the middle of that verse, in God's presence there is fullness of joy. So, there's only one place where there is fullness of joy, and that's there all the time. So I've used that verse for myself as a guideline that anytime, even for a few moments, if there is not fullness of joy in my heart, then at that particular time, I am not in the presence of God. I may have been in the presence of God 5 minutes earlier. Maybe I will be in the presence of God a little later. But right at that moment, I am not in the presence of God, because in God's presence, there's not just joy, but fullness of joy. And the wonderful thing that Jesus did was to bring us right into the presence of God. And if you're not sure of that, because the devil keeps harassing us, condemning us, saying, no, you're not worthy to be there, and you're not there, and we keep believing that lie of the devil, and that's why there's no fullness of joy. So my desire is that all of us will experience that fullness of joy, not just as you understand the truth of God's word today, but every day of this year and throughout your life. Because that is the will of the God, you know. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. They could never have it in the old covenant. And people couldn't understand how they could have such a life. They had periods, you know. They used to come on the Sabbath day and in the temple and clap and dance and sing and play instruments and all that. But then they'd go back to 6 days of sinning. That's exactly how it is with many charismatic churches today. One day is a tremendous amount of praise and shouting, and then 6 days of fighting at home and sin and all types of wrong things in their life. That's not what we believe in. We believe in 7 days a week, fullness of joy. And then what we express together on Sunday morning is just a public expression of what we have all the time in our hearts. I'm not saying we are singing all the time in our hearts. Joy is something in the heart. It's not smiling. It's not external, exuberance, because that depends on our temperament. Some people's temperament is more reserved and introverted. That doesn't mean they can't have joy in the Lord. And some people are more extrovert and express their joy outwardly. But that does not mean those who express their joy outwardly have got more joy than the ones who are more quiet about it. So I'm not talking about the outward exuberant expression. That depends a lot on our personality. And I'm not trying to change your personality. I'm talking about what Jesus always emphasized, the inner life. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So I'm talking not about that inward joy, even if outwardly you are a reserved, quiet type of person, an inward joy that never goes. That means you don't live a single moment of your life under condemnation. That's very, very important. Let me show you a couple of other verses in John chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3. We all know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17, it's very important to understand this. God did not send his Son into the world to judge or condemn the world. He did not send Jesus to condemn us. So if Jesus has not come to give us condemnation, who is the one who is condemning you? That's the devil. Jesus, it says here, God sent his Son so the world should be saved. And when you turn to 2 Corinthians 3, you see this is one of the essential differences between the old covenant and the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse, the whole chapter is really about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And it says here that God has made us, verse 6, servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills or condemns. The law condemned people, but the Spirit gives life. And then he contrasts these two covenants, and he calls the old covenant, verse 7, a ministry of death. And the new covenant is called in verse 8, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There must be no spiritual death in our spirits at any time. And then he calls the old covenant, verse 9, the ministry of condemnation. And the new covenant is a ministry of righteousness. Now, when you hear righteousness preached, you can hear it in the spirit of the old covenant and get condemned. Or you can hear it in the spirit of the new covenant and come into righteousness. If you hear a preacher or you hear a message that at the end of it you feel condemned, you can be sure that that message was not from God. You can be absolutely sure, because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now you need to distinguish between condemnation and conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts. The ministry of the Spirit is a ministry that convicts of sin but does not condemn. Very, very important to understand that. And how shall we distinguish it? I mean, you know, if think of God as a father, and earthly fathers are good examples of bad examples, really. The way they condemn their children. If a father tells, or a mother tells a child, you're really useless. How many times have I got to tell you not to do that? When will you ever learn? That's a ministry of condemnation. And you keep on doing that to your children. Your children will grow up with feeling insecure and grow up to be useless. Useless for God and even useless to accomplish anything in the world. We got to affirm them. What the right way to do it is, listen son, that's not the right way to do it. I'll show you. Okay, you made a mistake, never mind, we'll do it right the next time. That's conviction. But to say you're useless and you're good for nothing, and I've told you so many times, God never, never speaks to us like that. But because a lot of fathers speak, maybe you heard your father speak like that to you, you feel that now God is your father, he's going to speak like that to you. He doesn't. God's not like your condemning earthly father. So the Holy Spirit convicts, and the way he convicts is, that's not right. There's a better way to do it. Or that's wrong. You shouldn't do like that. Or you shouldn't have that attitude to that person. Or the way you spoke to that person was not right. Go and set it right. Let's do it better next time. There's a message of hope whenever the Holy Spirit convicts. That's life. So if you hear a voice in your heart saying, you're useless, you're good for nothing, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never get victory over sin, you can be pretty sure that's not the Holy Spirit. Because that's a ministry of condemnation. So please remember that the Old Testament ministry is a ministry of condemnation. And if you hear a new covenant preacher preach the truth in the Holy Spirit and you feel condemned, then you have to say, that's not his fault, it's the way I received it. It's the way you received it. Because you're so used to receiving condemnation, that you never think that anything else is there for you but condemnation. And I want to say, you need to distinguish in the church between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation will discourage you. You'll go away from a meeting discouraged, gloomy, saying, I'm hopeless. And if it's conviction, and you know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you, you go away with hope. So that's the way. So even if you, supposing you're listening to an old covenant preacher who's just trying to condemn you, and there are lots of them like that in the world, and lots of them on the internet as well. You got to say, well, I feel sorry for this guy. He doesn't know the new covenant. I'm not going to allow that message to condemn me. Never, never, never. I want you to be liberated. It doesn't mean that we don't take sin seriously, but we don't allow the ministry of condemnation to depress us. Because at the end of this chapter, when it says, we see the glory of the Lord, and Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, he was convicted. He didn't get condemned. He didn't say, oh, well, I'm useless. No hope for me. He said, I'm an unclean man. I dwell in the midst of one man of unclean lips. And immediately, the fire from the altar cleansed his lips and he was whole. Even in Romans 7:24, when Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The next sentence is, "Thank God, through Jesus Christ." He doesn't stop with, "Who shall deliver me?" and stop there. The very next sentence is, "Thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord." So it's very important whenever we hear a strong message that shows us where we have come short of the glory of God. And I'll tell you something. Till the day Jesus comes, in some area or the other, we will come short of the glory of God. The only day when you can say, I'm not coming short of the glory of God, is when we have become like Jesus perfectly. And that will not happen until Christ comes. But that doesn't mean I have to live in condemnation till Christ comes. It doesn't even mean that I have to live gloomy. In fact, I believe God wants us to rejoice all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5, it just says rejoice always. It's not just rejoice in the Lord always like Philippians 4:4. Just rejoice always, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16.